Did you see the film said that they missed it?
Good to go.
Okay, call the meeting to order. We don't have the same formalities we used to, do we? But anything?
No, I don't think so. I think just call the meeting to order. And I think that's it. Yeah. Elliot,
is there do we need the electronic determination, location, all that stuff that we used to do?
I don't know if Elliot's on quite yet either.
No, we probably need him.
Yeah.
No, and last time we already have it on the public notice website.
Okay, so we don't have to read it. Okay. I think we're good to go then. It looks like Elliot just joined. Elliot, can you hear us?
Hey guys, can you hear me?
I hear you. So I think we are ready to go. Call the meeting to order. And Brian, you said you had an update?
Yeah, let me get the presentation teed up. All right, so a brief staffing update. We have Liz Beth Monteroso joined us as a finance and operations analyst. She'll be working alongside Tatiana as Tatiana prepares for a leave of absence coming up in the next month or so. To know Tatiana will be joining us back in early summer to join as a part-time, but Liz Beth has joined us as a full-time employee. And maybe if you want to come up here to the table and introduce yourself to Liz Beth.
Right here.
Yeah.
Hi, my name is Liz Beth, and I just graduated from the University. I have a professional background in law and econometrics. I enjoy analyzing data and testing hypotheses, and I am super excited to join the SITCO team.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you. Awesome.
Great credentials.
So that was our only staffing update.
Okay. Again, I think Treasurer Oaks asked us to just go ahead. So what's up on the agenda next?
The Land Trust Protection Advocacy Office update.
Okay.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Since it hasn't been long since your last board meeting, mainly I'll just be reporting on some things that we already introduced in the last meeting and some progress that's been made in that regard. You'll recall that our office has tried to catalyze a system-wide legislative outreach campaign. And as you well know, the legislature is still in the midst of its 45-day session. But pleased to report that we're actually approaching roughly the 60 mark right now as far as legislative visits. Recalling, of course, there's 104 legislators, so we've passed the halfway mark. And want to give a shout out to all of the people in the system, but I should say the entities in the system, but particularly the SITFO office. Peter and his staff have been extremely supportive in this effort. And I just want to make sure that the board knows that they've been investing a lot of time and resources for these visits. We found that these one-on-one visits are definitely already paying dividends. And it's timely because right now, of course, on your plate directly is HJR 18 and also House Bill 421, addressing the intergenerational equity strategy. And we've certainly made that a big talking point in our visits with legislators. Of course, you've got a sponsor with Jefferson Moss, who's got, you know, serious muscle being in leadership and so forth. But having the opportunity to talk about intergenerational equity principles with these legislators has been a real win for us, along with other things about explaining the different dimensions of the system. But that's going well. And I should mention too, I didn't want to steal any of Ryan or Scott's thunder on this, but you know, going into to this introduced legislation, there was some caution and concern maybe that stakeholders, particularly in the education system, might have some pause with it. But the campaign has been very, very effective. And as we worked with Paula and other stakeholders in the system, pleased to report that we have unanimous support coming from all these tentacles, which is important, you know, with PTA, Utah Education Association. In fact, we're just in the process of a letter that will have joint signatures, you know, with a plethora of upwards of, I think, 12 or 13 organizations that are endorsing this, which will help propel it, even, I should say, it, these two pieces of legislation forward. So we're encouraged by that. Appreciate the feedback that Ryan and others have been giving us in fine-tuning that letter, which will probably be launched in the near future. But I'll leave the rest of that as far as those two bills to Ryan to give updates on. But let me pivot to one last issue, and it was introduced last time, you may remember, and that is the CITFO Board Nominating Committee. Tomorrow night, I should say tomorrow afternoon at 4:30 until 6, we're going to actually end the meeting with a dinner event, but we are inviting the whole new CITFO Nominating Committee to convene. We're going to be meeting actually up at the Senate building at the Capitol area, and we're going to do a Trustlands 101 overview with them. Ryan and Scott will be joining us in talking about some of the elements and the important dimensions of what their role will be. But we're just initiating that process formally with tomorrow night's meeting and looking forward to hopefully a good outcome. We recognize that this is a very, very important part of your operations. And so any questions?
Kim, there isn't any confusion or concern about the other education bill or bills that are on, that are being discussed, and the intergenerational equity and the complexity of that perhaps getting caught up in some of the other discussions?
You know, thanks for that question, Jason. Actually, we've been pleasantly surprised that we've been able to keep it separated from the other debates that are going on relative to how income tax is going to be treated and funding other operations of government besides public schools. You remember in our previous conversations, that door was cracked open a few years ago with the constitutional amendment that allowed for higher education and public health to also be part of the income tax pie. But now there is a lot of serious chatter about how that could be opened even wider to fund other dimensions of statewide operations. What we're hearing so far, and it's been really encouraging through particularly high members of leadership and so forth, there is a strong allegiance to protecting the integrity of the trust. And so, Paula, do you have any signals that would suggest otherwise? We're getting really good support of making sure that these trust funds aren't commingled or replace anything critical in nature. And so we're pleased to report that, Jason, but thanks for the question.
I think Kim provided a great summary. Maybe we could just tackle the legislative update on the agenda 8.3. As Kim mentioned, HJR 18 was a bill numbered by Representative Moss for the constitutional amendment to raise the cap on distributions from 4% to 5%. And the companion bill, HB 421, addresses the other administrative functions of increasing the cap, such as removing the minimum school program cap, changes in the formula components, raising those from 4% to 5%, and then also changing the other beneficiaries distribution from 4% to 5%. And so those bills have been numbered within the last week. The next step on those is to go to a committee hearing in the legislature.
Our plan is to have that letter in the hands of all the committee members. Assuming it will go to the education committee, we'll have that letter rock and roll here along when it's released to the committee and heard.
Okay. So is the expectation that the legislature will take up these bills this session, or?
Yes.
Okay. Great.
And hopefully pass them.
Yes.
Hopefully. That's great news. Thank you for that update.
Yeah, thank you.
Good to hear.
Great. And I don't know if Treasurer Oakes has joined yet. And doesn't look like he's joined quite yet. And I don't have a particular update on SB 96, but that was an ESG bill that addresses the proxy voting that Treasurer Oakes has been working diligently on alongside URS and also comments from our agency. And we provided feedback, and I think it's in still a working stage as they refine the language and what to address. But that's on the radar, and I defer to Treasurer Oakes to provide an update there.
Anything else we can do before he gets here? There were some minutes. Are we going to approve those today, or is that next?
That'll be at the March meeting.
Okay. Well, I haven't heard from Treasurer Oakes again, so how long he's going to be.
Do we move to close the meeting and move to the next portion then?
You can get that portion out of the way, and then when he shows up, we can just start the discussions.
Okay. And what, Elliot, do that?
Yeah, Elliot.
I hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Oh, it's a miracle. Okay, thanks. I'm sorry. I never work from home, and of course, the one day I work from home, anyway. Okay, yeah, so to close the meeting, we're just gonna have the same script we always go through, guys, and so I'll do that now. So the first thing we have to do is state on the record the reasons for closing the meeting. And so today, the reason for closing the meeting is for the discussion of the purchase or sale of identifiable securities. That's permitted by Utah Code Section 53D1304, subsection 6. The location is going to be either there in CITFO's offices or online, where a lot of people are attending. And so now I just have to go through and get everybody's an individual roll call vote. If you could just give me the name and the vote for or against closing the meeting for this purpose.
David Nixon, 4.
John Lunt, 4.
Jason Gall, 4.
Okay, that's it. And then when we go to the closed session, we'll have to do another script, but that's it for this session.
And then do we have a new link for the closed session?
Yes, we'll switch to the new Zoom link. It should be labeled closed session. You should have gotten an email with that information in there. So we'll reconvene in the closed session Zoom link.
Okay.
And Ryan, just in case I have the same issues, I'm going to go ahead and email you the script that you'll need to do in a closed session, just in case I can't get it to work.
Great. Thanks, Elliot.
All right.
See you all soon.
All right.